throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Jared, I think we might have rubbed some good luck off onto the Elkette wrestlers.
I think so. I think we can take a lot of credit for
that. We get credit for that, don't we?
Absolutely.
Coach Murray and Coach Green in here on Monday, and then yesterday, school records set.
Wow.
In Elk City Wrestling. The Elkettes, a great job in regionals up at Kingfisher. We'll tell you what that was coming up at the end of the show. Also, Ryder Cowan helped the Sooners to a fifth-place finish, I believe, in Puerto Rico. He played two pretty good rounds, and then one not so great at the end. So there's that. High school hoops. We get the Class A and B playoffs cranked up again tomorrow with regional action. So here's the question. Which games are you most excited for? To see, either to watch, I mean, listen, yours is on my list. There's not a ton of games that have ranked teams going at it. They are one of them, and there's some others around the state as well. So which games are you most excited to either watch or see the result? I think there's one game, for me anyway, that intrigues me far more than any others.
Okay.
Now, there's a bunch of ranked, there's some ranked games. I mean, we're here. Class B girls has four of them, which is nuts. But there's one game in the state of Oklahoma that I'm like, okay, I can't wait to see who wins this. Just to, like, there's intrigue around a team that I don't know that much about that I want to see tomorrow. Is there a top eight team that has a tough one? I circled two. That maybe. You know, a lot of times the top eight teams don't start playing ranked teams until Saturday. But there's a couple that may have a little bit of a challenge. Give me an upset tomorrow night in any class, boys or girls. And then is there a team that's going to play tomorrow afternoon that maybe got upset in district that might be able to make a run to the state tournament? I found one. I found a ranked team.
I'm not accusing you of not sending a rundown, but I didn't get one.
Oh, no, I did.
So I'm kind of – I got like the first part of your – like the games I'm looking forward to. I'm going to have to run downstairs.
Oh.
To grab my my brackets.
Unless I didn't hit send. Maybe it's sitting there on my computer.
It's in your saved drafts.
Because you're back to Jared, not Paul anymore.
I don't know what's
here in the last couple, like the last week and a half, you're back to Jared.
I don't know what's
maybe
going
I didn't hit send. Oh, darn. Anyway, so there you go. Well, why don't you run downstairs while I do all this spiel?
Yeah, you tell everybody how to find us.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll also have Sooners last night, a little college basketball. Is there a good team? Is there a great team in NCAA basketball this season? Thunder roll in Orlando. I've actually got it. Let's go back to the college basketball right quick in the rundown. I was doing this exercise last night with one of my buddies, and it's, listen, we're two people that two decades ago had the bracket memorized 30 minutes after it came out. We were going back and forth. Can we name – we started with five. I don't even know if it got to five, but maybe can you name 10 college basketball players, men's college basketball players, outside of Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, around the whole country? It was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. As I mentioned, Thunder roll in Orlando, headed to the All-Star break in second out west. No matter what happens with the Clippers – man, J-Dub, do we realize how good J-Dub is? Are we – listen, it's probably sacrilege around here to start comparing J-Dub and Shea to Russ and KD. They're different, but it sure seems like those two, and then you throw in Chet as well. Man, it's got to – you start to realize why maybe Oklahoma City's not in a panic to make some kind of crazy move at the deadline because of what they have and how young – that is. And then maybe the move they did make, can Gordon Hayward be the player that kind of unlocks Josh Giddey. Because it's obvious Josh Giddey isn't playing where he needs to play as far as, you know, he's not a knockdown shooter. And teams have started to really kind of take advantage of that. You know, in Dallas on Saturday, it was almost sad. It was almost Andre Robertson-esque of the Mavs not guarding Giddey from behind the three-point line and watching him just brick city. But is Hayward a guy that maybe can play that spot and then allow Giddey to do something different that accentuates his strengths? We'll find out after the All-Star break. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, there are a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app's got it all. Radio, Penny News, brand new edition, The Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight, thepennynews.com. We'll check out all the deals in this week's Penny News. Our fearless leader will be headed to get the print edition of The Penny News tonight. So it'll be available this evening in some spots all around in the morning. And then, of course, Big Elk and Paragon TV, high school hoops starting tomorrow with this Class A and B regional tournaments, 2A through 4A, coming up when we get to Friday and Saturday for the district tournaments. Skinny on Sports podcast available everywhere. How are you?
Good.
Jared?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. It's not the greatest Valentine's Day. My wife's sick.
Oh, darn.
There was one point last night where I accused her of having a lower voice than me with all the congestion.
Ugh, that's no fun.
So she's not feeling very good. That stinks.
Do we know what it is?
We don't.
Well, darn it. You can still make it a pleasant Valentine's for her. Just, you know, keep her happy.
Mucinex.
Mucinex, yeah.
It's going to be what might make her happy.
Some chicken noodle soup tonight. Maybe some candlelit dinner with chicken noodle soup.
Nah. I mean, I'm not here to get sick. Teasing.
Didn't say you have to be there with her to eat it. Just bring it in, light the candle, and walk out of the bedroom.
All right. Flip on the lamp. Yeah. No, it's kind of, that stinks.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Our church for the past, oh gosh, I don't know, 5 years maybe, has put on a Valentine's Day dinner like the night before. It's usually like on the 13th if it can be. So last night we had to miss that, you know, which is a bummer because that's always a lot of fun.
Yeah.
There's, you know, played like a version of the dating game. Is that what that was called?
I remember you telling about that.
Yeah, that's happened. I don't know what – I'm usually the MC, so we don't have to play, which is nice because it's it's pretty funny to watch, you know, the personalities come out in that deal. You can tell
that's
pretty
a good idea.
You can tell pretty quickly if the woman or the man is the most competitive. once answers start be aren't on the same wavelength.
Right.
But anyhow, so that kind of stinks. How are you? What you got big plans tonight?
Oh no, I
did you figure out what she wanted?
Well, yes.
You find out.
Kinda. We'll find out. No, it's we already kind of. Well, not we, but we let the girls, we gave them their Valentines this morning. I made sure there were flowers on the table for all three of the girls in my life there. So, and then we'll you know, exchange cards and stuff I got her tonight. So, I mean, it was starting to turn into kind of like a Christmas vibe in our house. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? It's like, wait a minute. Wait, well, pump the brakes. This is Valentine's Day. It's not Christmas.
Yeah. It's a made-up
just
holiday.
Get me a card, and that's it. We'll have a nice dinner tonight as a family. So, and I don't know what that is going to be just yet. I haven't really thought that far ahead. It's been so busy in our house, and it's only Wednesday. So, but no, it's good Valentine's. What's scary is that my oldest had to get a Valentine for someone else.
Oh dear.
Yeah. So yeah. A special little guy came and asked her if he'd be, if she would be his Valentine.
Yeah, you know, it's funny.
He's a good kid, though. I know him. He's a good kid.
It's funny you say that because I'm not going to. Bad Boys 2 has just happened to pop up on TV the last couple of days over the weekend or whatever. And then, of course, there's this scene where Martin Lawrence's daughter's going on the date.
Yeah.
And
kind of that's funny.
Tag team that deal to
he
be
just
mean
stands
to
there
him.
And takes
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Reggie.
Reggie. Yeah. Yeah. No, it, I don't know. It's, I mean, they're special friends. They're good kids. And they exchanged Christmas gifts too. And he brought it over to the house.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And he was just real.
Hey, you know what I got for Christmas, young man?
It.
A shotgun.
Yeah, I
brand new one.
I considered. Come on in. Well, I'm cleaning my shotgun. Isn't there a song about that? Yes. But I guess he asked her to be her Valentine or his Valentine. And so I had to take Katie to Walmart last night after her practice because I got to get him something. So. Yeah, it's
Sam's got a suggestion for dinner.
I've seen that.
Is the Chick-fil-A truck in town?
I don't know.
Drive down to Altus.
Nah. It's Wednesday.
Chick-fil-A's out at my house.
Really, Chick-fil-A's safe for the weekend for me.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
No Chick-fil-A. It's too long a drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right,
Oh, no, I was going to say, where do you want to start?
Well, I'm going to be real honest with you. I did not watch more than four possessions of Oklahoma Baylor.
Oh, no, I was more.
I couldn't do it.
I was more interested in Thunder.
I watched
even
the Thunder.
After the Thunder
I watched
game,
a bunch.
I didn't turn
it. Well, as soon as the Thunder. I watched the. Like, flipped it over to OU Baylor, like, kind of at a timeout.
I mean, it was close
timeout.
Until it was about 25-25, something like that.
Yes, yeah. Early. And then it was 40-27 at halftime. Baylor went on a run. And then, you know, the second half, you know, it felt like Baylor just kind of held them at arm's length.
I was doing the, timeout in the Thunder game. I'd switch it over to the OU game. And at one point, I switch it over. And right when I switch it over, the announcer goes, and another turnover. I'm like, yep, that's OU basketball.
Only 12, which is a pretty low number.
I guess
for them.
There might have been like a streak
but a
of
streak
turnovers.
Of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Seven in the first half. You know, the 3-point shooting, Baylor actually made some, 11 of 21. And Nunn was awesome, 8 of 12, 6 of 9 from 3 for 27. Suarez for OU off the bench, 5 of 6. He made most of his shots, missed 1-3, made 5 free throws, but he rolled his ankle at the end. So that's KU coming to town. Hughley didn't play because of a knee. Oklahoma's already thin up front with Godwin, Norweather. It's not a great recipe with Hunter Dickinson coming to town. Hunter Dickinson, yeah. if you play like the daily fantasy, whatever his numbers combined over might be a good bet on Saturday with KU coming off that blowout loss in Tech on Monday. Coming to Norman Saturday without Hughley in there. It's
not a good time to get unhealthy.
Here's the question, though. You were downstairs. One of my buddies, we were texting. Is there a great team in college basketball, period? And if so, who do you think it is?
I mean, no one, you're not fine. There's not that one team that it's – that you tune in to watch because they're this awesome team. It doesn't feel like there is one this year. I'm trying to think of who's been consistently in the top five. Let's just start there.
Purdue.
UConn,
yeah.
Yeah. Carolina's trying, but they're sliding a little bit.
They lost last night to Syracuse.
Last night, yeah.
It seems like...
But there's not... And if you ask me, you know, further expand on that, who's... You know, there's always a player or two that's the face of college basketball this season. Is it Edie?
Well, okay, so you're walking right into my trap of a question.
Okay.
And I'm not joking when I say this. I mean, and the guy I'm talking about, like I said earlier, we're talking about two guys that 20 years ago would have the bracket memorized in like 30 minutes of it coming out.
Uh-huh.
So... Me and him, I mean, I'm talking about huge college basketball fans. And we had trouble naming 10 players not on OU or OSU from around the country.
Oh, yeah. No, it's hard. You could think of Bronny.
Well, no, and Bronny didn't count. It was OU, OSU, or Bronny.
Okay.
Because everybody knows who Bronny
everybody
is.
Everybody knows who Bronny is.
That's right.
Edie.
Edie was the first one I thought, okay, Edie. And he goes, well, who's that lefty from Kansas? I went to Hunter Dickinson. You know, Shed from down at Houston. He's been around. But the point, there's not a there's just not a bunch of guys. And part of it is this draft class seems really mid. Look at me talking like the kids. It really does, though, really mid in this draft, especially coming off of what we had the last couple of years with the Wembanyama sweepstakes. Obviously, Banchero and Chet the year before, and Jabari Smith made a name for himself at Auburn. But I'm not kidding. I don't know if I can name 10 other guys in college basketball. No, it's just the product is so watered down, and it's no fun to watch, especially when on a night when you get to see the Thunder.
Yeah.
And it's at times very difficult to see the Thunder.
Yeah.
And then you get to see them on national television, and you juxtapose those things with each other. You're like, man, this is so much more fun to watch Oklahoma City than it was OU.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. It was way better. When's the last time – this is kind of an offshoot question. It was cool to see the Thunder last night and on national television and everything. And you know, I'm watching that game. I caught it. I picked it up late because, like I said, I had to run to Walmart with the kid and everything and came back and basically watched the entirety of the second half. But when's the last time Shaq's been on the sideline?
Not
an All-Star game. That doesn't count.
Oh, I don't know if it's ever happened. He was there because
– Was it because of the –
Jersey
Orlando,
retirement.
Was that
they
what
retired
was?
His jersey, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I figured there's a connection there with Orlando. I saw there's like, were they celebrating 35 years of pro basketball in Orlando?
Yeah,
or
I think
the Magic.
It was a jersey retirement type
deal.
Okay,
well, that makes sense. It actually sounded kind of cool, but I thought that was cool. You know, you're watching Thunder on national television. They played well. Williams was awesome. You're right. That's one thing that stood out to me. SGA did SGA stuff. Yeah, but it's a product I'd rather watch than what we get in any – and this is a knock on OU or OSU in any college basketball. I'm not turning the channel away from and I'm more interested because the Thunder are contenders for the mm-hmm. West. Let's go there. That I'm more apt to watch other NBA games, how they match up, how the Clippers look tonight against Golden State or whoever. You know, I'm more willing to watch that than, say – Syracuse and Carolina last night.
Well, I wonder if we lived in the Southeast, because here's the thing. The Big 12 is probably the best conference. Rankings will tell you that. But you know what else it is? It's not very fun to watch because it's just a street fight.
Yeah.
You flip it down there, and like the other day, it was Auburn, Alabama. That was some of the best, most fun basketball for a half. Now, Auburn started kicking the crap out of them in the second half, and it kind of wore down. Even this weekend, Bama put like 110 on LSU.
Yeah,
Bama's fun. Auburn's fun. Tennessee is fun. I think South Carolina's fun too. But here's the problem. Nobody thought they're going to be any good, so they're not on.
Yeah.
Even though they're now number 11 at 21-3. It's kind of like one of those, you know, the Cinderella story that you don't get to see them much because nobody had much expectation for them. You know, and then you see like Kentucky. They've fallen off the map until last night. They finally got a win. I hate to say this, and Jeremy's right. I don't know if it's way better, but it's darn sure more recognizable right now because of one player. Women's college basketball around the country, I think more people know about Caitlin Clark than anybody on the men's side. Now, that's not going to translate to viewers once it comes down to the tournament. Women might set all kinds of records of their own, but it'll be dwarfed by what the men's are, just because the tournament is the tournament.
Yeah.
But if you ask just some normal Joe Schmo off the street and anywhere in America, name me a college basketball player, I think Caitlin Clark is by far the most recognizable one.
I think she is.
Of men or women.
Of men or women, she's the most popular one right now. I found myself watching them play Nebraska on Sunday afternoon, her going for that record, and then Nebraska comes and upsets them. Seems like every time I tune in to watch Iowa, they're losing.
Yeah, well,
I did it when I watched them play Ohio State.
She took a big offer in the only time in her career in the fourth quarter.
That's crazy. But, no, it's and then I think because we appreciate the sport so much, because we watch so much, we go to so many games, and we know what good basketball is, and we've seen some bad basketball. And so when you talk about the SEC and the Big 12, yeah, it's a street fight with the Big 12, and some of that is just a turnoff for me anyway. So I'm like, good night, just run a play, you know, just.
Well, and they're not able to because it's so physical.
Yeah, yeah. But
all right, here's the question on the text line. Who would be the top four seeds right now?
I don't know.
In my mind, guarantee.
Well, I think we said two of them.
Guarantee Purdue's the number one seed.
Right.
Guarantee. Probably UConn.
Yeah.
Whoever wins the Big 12.
You think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Houston or Kansas. Houston. Or Kansas still can still do it because Kansas has those wins.
I'm saying. That's what I said yesterday. I'm not counting them out.
No, no. They still have those huge wins over UConn, over Houston, over Tennessee.
Yeah, that's true. They have resume
over
wins.
Baylor.
They have resume making wins.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They beat four teams in the top 12 of this week's poll. So one of those two, yeah, if not both.
Yeah, one of those two. That's a good point, too.
If not both, if they play, like if they played in the Big 12 final.
Yeah.
The Big 12 tournament final and don't suffer
what
a bunch of losses.
One wins the regular season, one wins
that's
the tournament.
That's possible. Also, Arizona could be there.
Arizona.
Marquette is number four this week.
They're not bad.
They're 18-5. I don't know. And maybe like Carolina or Duke or Tennessee or whoever wins the SEC. Yeah.
You know who's a bubble team? It's crazy to think that they're a bubble team.
Who?
Gonzaga.
Yeah, that's true. That win over Kentucky was huge for them to almost get back on the bubble because they had fallen so down. You know what else has happened for the first
time? When's the last time they missed a tournament?
Oh, gosh. Has to have been. They burst on the scene in what? 1998? 1999? Taking the eventual champion, UConn, down to the wire in the Elite Eight? Wasn't that them? Wasn't that their year? Richard Hamilton and that team, Khalid El-Amin, end up beating Duke.
Something like that,
I think that was the first real run for Gonzaga. So, and I don't remember them necessarily. If they did, it would have been early then. Before
they started rolling
again.
They were these darlings of America, the Cinderella story, but then they kept showing up. And kept showing up. And then
they're way past that.
We're not Cinderellas. We are perennial contenders in this thing. So I can't remember last time they have not made a tournament.
What's wild is they still get 50 votes for the top 25 right now.
That's crazy. That's a respect.
That's a respect.
That
There's no doubt about it. You know what else has happened for the first time since 1979 this week?
Whew, no, what? 79.
Since 1979, something has happened for the first time since 1979.
What?
The Indiana State Sycamores are ranked in the top 25.
Oh, my goodness.
First time since Larry Bird met Magic Johnson in the finals.
Wow.
1979. Sycamores, number 23. I've seen one of their guys. I don't know his name, but I've seen pictures. He looks kind of like, you know, on Dodgeball, the dude with the rec specs? Kind of looks like him. He's going to be an easy guy for people to glom onto if Indiana State can make a run. All right, real quick, Thunder going to be second out west after a win last night against Orlando. A lot of people thought Orlando was going to be a bad matchup for Oklahoma City with all the guys that they had back, the Wagners and those types that didn't play the first time. Oklahoma City just hammered them. A really good performance. J-Dub and Shea go over 30 for back-to-back games. That hasn't happened since Russ and KD in 2013, where two Thunder players scored over 30 back-to-back games. It's exciting. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about with them as we move on. I can't wait to see Gordon Hayward mixed in, and I wonder if he can unlock Josh Giddey's move to make him more comfortable. Yeah, there's the guy right there. Thank you, Dakota. Now, if you just remember his name. It seems like for Giddey to be at his best on this team, he needs to be running the second unit with the ball in his hands. Here's the problem with that, though, Jared. Does that take the ball out of J-Dub's hands? Like, I mean, think about how many fourth quarters have started like they did last night with J-Dub running the second team and scoring points. He put up like 7 or 9 in a row, and the lead just grew. And from there, then everybody got involved.
Yeah.
You know, Kaysom Wallace hit a three in the corner. Chet knocked down a couple of – you know, everybody started rolling around. So even then, is that not a good spot for Giddey because J-Dub has kind of taken over that role – especially to start the fourth quarters.
Right. No, it's a good question. I'm interested to see when Hayward gets in there, what that's going to look like. I'm very interested in that.
I'm too. It's to incorporate him in and how they incorporate him in. Because he's a good player. Has been a good player.
When healthy.
Yeah, he's got to be healthy.
Got to be healthy.
All right, when we come back, we'll continue the roll with the basketball, but it will be high school hoops. Regional tournaments kick off tomorrow. in Class A and B? What are the best games? We'll talk about it next. Skinny on Sports right here on The Sports Animal.
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal, hanging out here on a Wednesday. Time for high school basketball. Hey, we're going to get the Tucker Family Beef 8 for state. I got to get that to Candace so she can post that up on the website. We'll tell you where that
is. Hey, good idea.
Where everybody picked. Everyone's picks, get those out there. Appreciate Monty and the gang at Tucker Family Beef. You know what Wyatt had for breakfast this morning?
Pop-Tarts. Did you hear about that?
He had a Tucker Family Beef Stick.
Well, that's good, too.
Yeah, Pop-Tart, the creator, died.
Yeah.
95 years old.
Man, I'm glad he lived long enough to see the Pop-Tarts bowl and that whole thing.
I got to tell you, the mini Pop-Tarts, that's a great choice.
Strawberry.
Great
choice.
The
mini ones, strawberries, regular size, s'mores. Yeah. Are good hot or room temp?
I'm not much of a room temp. I'll do it. I like to toast them. I'm a blueberry guy. Strawberry right there, too.
But a beef stick for
beef stick. So I was on Sunday. I was finding our oh my gosh, crock pot.
Yeah.
So it's in the in the bottom of the pantry, and there's some of these little baskets underneath the bottom shelf, and it's like a basket, but it has like holes in it, you know, like a wicker basket looking thing, but the holes are way bigger. Anyhow, as I pulled the crock pot out to make the cheese dip, hiding behind the crock pot was a jalapeno and cheese Tucker Family Beef Stick. And so I alerted the entire family, hey, look what I found. What a great find this is.
Yeah, it's like finding a 20 in your pants. Yeah.
Yeah. And then when I was getting up to take Wyatt to school this morning, come to work, he was polishing that thing off. I was like, really? Pretty sure finders keepers,
yeah.
But not in this case.
That's
so
right. I didn't see your name on it.
Not only could it mid-morning snack, a lunch snack, or whatever, Wyatt used it for breakfast today with the Tucker Family Beef Sticks. So that's great. Great for him, anyway.
Good.
All right. Regional tournaments start tomorrow, Class A and B. Which games are you most excited to see?
I wrote down four, two girls games and two boys games.
Okay.
I didn't mean to do it like that, but just that's how it came out. And I won't do it in any order of most excited to least. I'll just tell you what I wrote down. Girls game, Cheyenne and Navajo, 17th ranked Navajo, and it's at a neutral site over at Carnegie. Cheyenne raised a lot of eyebrows when they beat a three-loss Canton team. A Canton team that
number 12
that just like week prior beat Dover. So we had a feeling about Cheyenne that they were going to be good. Maybe they're a little ahead of schedule right now. And so going up against Coach Ellison's Navajo team, who's been playing some really good basketball in their own right, that game, it really excites me. That one I'm really going to be looking forward to. Another girls' game, number 13, Leedy, hosting number 20, Boise State. And it's at Leedy. Boise City. It's at Leedy. Boise City is a team that, does anybody know anything about them being way out there in the panhandle? Are they or aren't they good? That one, could Leedy overlook them or whatever? But that one has my interest, and for local interest too. Same thing with Cheyenne. Boys games, Arapahoe, they come off with the upset win over Canute. They get to host number 7 Drummond in their own gym. That place is going to be rocking tomorrow night. Their student section's awesome. Their fans are awesome. And so they clearly have the home advantage. Does that help them upset number 7 Drummond? We talk about Cinderella team. If they do that, Arapahoe Butler boys are suddenly wearing the slipper. And Hammond boys versus Granite, another home game for an underdog. Number 18 Hammond, number 11 Granite, and it's at Hammond. In fact, I actually picked Hammond to win that one. No offense, Granite. I just think Hammond plays really, really good defense, and they're a tough team to beat. And I think they'll, again, have that home court advantage. So those are the four I'm looking forward to, four of them. How about you?
I wrote down some more. I have every one of those written down. In Class A girls, outside of the one you mentioned with Cheyenne Raiden and Navajo, I think the only team in the top eight that plays a ranked team tomorrow in Class A girls, as far as those top eight, Red Oak. Red Oak number 8 against Summit Christian number 20. So could that be, you know, a top eight team that has a really tough game? Also, I'm intrigued by yours. Canute and Waukomas, they played earlier this season. Canute won up in Moreland. It wasn't just a complete blowout. Two ranked teams. That's intriguing to me. And one that's probably not going to be any good. But the names, like we would have thought, there's no chance they can play in the first round of regionals before the season started. And then everything's just imploded at Okarchi. But Okarchi and Oklahoma Bible?
Yeah.
They probably started, what, 3-4 or 4-5 in the state? At the first of the season, that just the names there. Leedy and Frontier. How about this? There's two games in that area with ranked teams, Frontier and Kremlin Hillsdale as well, in that Class B girls area. That's crazy for the first round of regionals there. Moss and McCurtain are ranked. Smithville and Buffalo Valley were ranked. There was another one name-wise in Class B girls. Oh, it's Pittsburgh and Whitesboro. Whitesboro has been a team that's been in the state tournament. They must have fallen off just a little bit. Class A boys, Velma Alma and Bingeroni. That's 14 versus 19. I had Arapahoe Butler and Drummond. And then of all the games around the entire state of Oklahoma, the one that intrigues me the most in the first round of regionals is also in Class A boys, because I want to know about one team. Number 10, Texoma against number 17, the Academy. I want to know about the Academy. When you look at their record, it is what it is. But, man, it seems like they played a tough schedule. It seems like they've actually beaten some pretty good people. Texoma and the Academy. That one, of all the games across the entirety of the state of Oklahoma, that one, there was one person picked the Academy in the Tucker Family Beef 8 for State to make it to the state tournament. I can't remember who it was. But one person did. And that could be like a deciding factor in that contest if that turns out to be right. That one just intrigues the heck out of me. As does Hammond and Granite on the Class B boys side. Granite 11, Hammond 18, but it almost feels like Hammond's favorite. It's kind of the favorite because it's on their home floor. Young team. Varnum and Kearney are both.
Well, I think, and I'll give credit to Ed about this because I asked him, what's your opinion? How do you feel about he? Of course, he likes them. He's their guy. But he said, he made a good point on this one. He said, I think their schedule's going to show. Hammond's played a really tough schedule. They've played some really good teams tough.
Speaking of that Texoma team I just mentioned, Hammond beat them on their home floor.
We've always mentioned the Sentinel game and their tournament, taking them down to the wire. And so he makes a good point. You know, battle-tested team. Nothing gets granted. I'm not knocking their scheduling or anything, but so sometimes that's how it shakes out when you get into tournaments and then the matchups you get in semifinals and finals. And I think Hammond's maybe played a little tougher schedule, and at home there, I mean, that Warrior Dome's gonna be rocking.
Yeah, Granite's played Duke. Granite's played Sentinel.
There you go. There's common opponents there too.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
Hammond almost. They played Duke tough.
Yeah, so did Granite. Yeah. Granite played them 48-46 the first time, and then then right after Christmas, they got beat by 14. Sentinel beat them by almost 20. But, yeah, I don't disagree with that. And, man, at home, that's a tough game for Granite. to have to play in the first round of regionals.
Yeah.
A ranked team at home. And then the other one I have of ranked, Braggs and Kiowa. It's number 9 and number 16 in Class B boys. It's a pretty good game for first round of regionals. I think we have two. The hardest matchups for top 8 teams coming up tomorrow night. Drummond, that's a tough game for them in Class A boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Number 7 at Arapahoe Butler. It seems like the Indians have gotten better and better and better and better throughout the season. Them and Hammond, it's interesting how they're kind of on the same trajectory in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
Of improving throughout the year. And Arapahoe Butler, not only those, maybe those kids haven't done it, but they've seen how it's done over the past decade. Of being really successful.
Yeah. And they're youth, they're young, but now they're maybe not. Yeah, you're right. They've seen it a lot. Now it's their turn. You know, they just don't need to, being at home and coming off the big win over Canute, they don't need to get overconfident with themselves, and they need to stay within themselves. And I think they do have a opportunity here, big opportunity.
Yeah, Red Oak and Summit Christian was the only other, I think maybe the only game I could find with the top 18 playing a ranked team. Coming up tomorrow. And then all this, obviously on Saturday, that'll start happening all across the state of Oklahoma. Give me an upset.
Does Hammond over Granite count?
According to the rankings, it does.
That's it. I called that one even before the district started. Called that matchup, and I think that's one of them. How about you?
I was looking around, trying not to be... Try not to say the exact same thing. You've seen these teams. How worried should Timmy be?
Let me tell you, Tim is going to have them ready. He's a great coach. He'll have his team ready. But Cheyenne is, and that's been the theme this year, right? At least a part of the Paragon Network feels like. Young teams that are going to be good, or young, really talented teams, and Cheyenne falls in that mold. They play a lot of youth. They play together a long time. If they get things rolling early, Navajo's going to be in a dogfight with them.
Navajo's young too, though, right?
I'm not aware.
I thought you guys played them.
No, I'm sorry. No, I'm not. We have not played Navajo. No, I've just seen Cheyenne. But, yeah, I mean, he better be ready for them. They better be ready for them. And keep in mind, fans, when we talk about what we've seen, we're not knocking on kids here, but when I've seen Cheyenne, when they got flustered.
Well, yeah, they're young. Because four freshmen and a senior, right?
The starting lineup, yeah. When they got flustered, they started forcing things and turning the ball over. And I know how Tim coaches, especially with his defense, that might be a matchup issue.
Okay, but, how about this? Yeah. I don't know which. I think either Leedy girls or Frontier girls are going to have their hands full. You mentioned Boise City, and then Kremlin Hillsdale is who Frontier plays. That's 10 versus 16.
Yeah.
I think one of those could be a dogfight.
Yes.
One of those could be a dogfight. Is there a team playing Thursday afternoon, so tomorrow afternoon, which means a team got upset in district, that you could see possibly making a run? I referenced Tatum's team at Sentinel years ago. That got beat in the district tournament by Cheyenne and came back all the way, won 6 straight to get to the state tournament. I think they were eventually beaten by Okarchi in that first round of the state tournament. But I can't remember another team doing it. I know there have been. You know there have been. But that's the one that I can remember losing in the district and coming back through to make it to the state tournament. Is there somebody?
A team that...
Could potentially make a run into the state tournament.
I'm efforting. I'd love to find one.
There's two teams that I can think of that were ranked that got beat. And they're both in the same
area?
They're in the same class.
Who do you got? Who's that? You go first.
Drumright or Canute? Class A boys.
Yeah.
Both were beaten in the district tournament. Drumright, number 15. Canute, number 16. Any faith? I wrote down Drumright, and here's why. Drumright's actually beaten some ranked teams throughout the year. Kearney's ranked in Class B boys. Bragg's is ranked in Class B boys. Played Calumet within 12. Beat Kearney again in Class B. I wrote down Drumright, even though they were beaten by Summit Christian in the district final.
Well, you ask him if I have any faith in Canute. Sure I do, because they can turn it on offensively. And when they get rolling, I mean, they're twice this year, later in the year, they've almost hit 100 points both times because they just could not miss. Jackson Beck was a big part of that, but he had help around him. Saturday night, there it was a one-man show for Canute, and it just wasn't working offensively. So I got faith that it just doesn't go away and stay away. So I got faith that it'll return. And they got some favorable matchups moving forward, I think. And there is the potential rematch with Arapaho if Arapaho were to falter against Drummond. But the problem with that is this area I've always thought was tough with Sentinel being in it. Of course, Drummond, I just mentioned them. Southwest Covenant. So it'll be tough. But I guess there's a fortunate thing. If there is one, if you're looking for a very small silver lining in losing the way Canute did, is you can get rhythm and get on a roll. So, but then you got to worry about stamina and being fatigued and everything, having legs when you get down to it. But there's faith. I mean, the offense gives me faith. The offense has been potent when it works and when it's working. And when those boys are in sync, which they've been more in sync this year than they were last year, they are a very good offensive team. So, yeah, maybe. Yes. Any girls teams you see?
I didn't really see any that fired me up like that. Maybe Canton girls. Yeah, there you go. Canton girls lost. That's right.
That's a good one.
Yeah, there you go, Dakota.
That's a good one.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Did you know who their coach was?
Canton?
Yeah.
No.
The Silver Fox? Coach Baldwin? Formerly of Eric? You know what I'm talking about?
I did not know that.
Boy, I didn't either.
That makes a lot of sense.
Sure enough. Well, now, wait a minute. Here's the problem for that. That's a tough area. No, wait, that's Class A. I'm thinking about the Class B North one is really tough.
No, that's Area 2, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm all over the place.
Yeah, they're with you. Yeah, they played Cheyenne, obviously. Yeah, there's a ranked team, number 12. That's good. That's very good.
Southwest Covenant, possible loser of possibly Sentinel, Cyril and Sentinel, loser of that game. Yeah, it made the road a little easier for them. I'd prefer not to go the long route, but that's a good one. That's a good one.
I mean, any ranked team that loses district would have to, like, put your antenna up. I can't believe we forgot that one, considering Cheyenne beat them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so hard. It's hard to do. But those are, you know, ranked teams that have a chance to do it. It's going to be exciting. I think, I don't know, part of me thinks that the road is harder. There's just a couple of the areas that feel like, man, if you plucked one or two teams out and put them in another one, you'd really feel good about chances to make the state tournament. Whereas where they're at, it's going, ugh, that road is so difficult.
Yeah.
And there's even some, like, okay, here's a, no one picked this, and I wish I would have now. I wish I would have picked Dover to get beat, not make the state tournament.
Really?
Yes. I do.
And may I ask why?
Oh, both their losses came in the last month. Well, heck, in the last couple of weeks. And, yeah, they beat Lomega right out of the box, very first game. Then they beat Garber. And they beat Marnum. Okay. You know, I don't know. I just kind of wish I would have. Because here's the deal. Pittsburgh is a team that I didn't pick, and they've been there so many years. The last couple in a row, including the champs.
Kiowa, it's not bad.
Kiowa has been there a time or two. Can they? Dover hasn't. So especially carrying that number one ranking, does the pressure mount on that team? Because when we had those stats, how long it had been since they've been ranked, much less ranked number one, almost all season long. Maybe literally all season long.
Yeah.
Once the rankings came out.
Oh, I think they have been.
I think they were too. Yeah. I think they've been number one consistently the entire time.
Well, they have always looked at the LaMega win, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And that happened before the rankings came out. Anyway, there's part of me that really wishes I would have pulled the trigger on, you know, an upset that way. It's going to be fun. I can't wait.
Like you've said, tomorrow is a big day.
It's
for the winner's brackets.
Yep. To me, it's the biggest day of the entire thing.
Yep.
As far as getting to the state tournament. Because you lose tomorrow, that's five grinders in a row. You win tomorrow, you take a little bit of a breather, kind of. Just knowing that the road is cut in half.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal, hanging out here on a Wednesday. Getting ready for the resumption of the high school basketball playoffs coming up tomorrow with Class A and B regional tournaments. Jared, take a bow. Pat yourself on the back a little bit.
What for?
I think it can only be deduced that Coach Murray and Coach Green stopping by on Monday.
Yeah.
We rubbed off some good luck on the Elkett wrestlers, right?
I think so. I think we deserve a shirt or something. Yeah. A hang up in here.
So regional tournament yesterday at Kingfisher for the girls wrestling, and the Elk City Elkettes set a school record with four state tournament qualifiers. Now, if you didn't listen Monday or you don't remember how it goes, so there's two regionals in wrestling, a West and an East. The West regional was at Kingfisher yesterday. What did they say? Like 35 teams, something like that, were represented. I think I saw the OSSA. Let me find that tweet. I want to get this right. So I saw, started kind of looking for results. I ended up texting Murray to kind of figure out how it was. So yesterday in the girls wrestling regionals, this is all classes, there were 691 wrestlers.
Oh, wow.
UConn, Glenpool, Dewar, and Kingfisher were the hosts. Isn't that crazy? 691. And the Elkettes put four wrestlers into the state tournament. Three of them are freshmen.
Oh, that's cool.
Three freshmen and a senior. So at the 105 weight class, Kenzie Manning, daughter of Jay Manning, and Jennifer Manning, she placed fourth. She wrestled for third in the placing matches. So here's the deal. Three of these, Manning, Kylie Leal and also Madison Holiday, when they wrestled their placing matches at 6 o'clock last night, they knew they were in the state tournament. Kenzie was wrestling for third. Kylie and Madison were wrestling for the regional crown, and they take top five out of each regional. So you knew, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that those three were making the state tournament. Kenzie lost a third-place match at the 105 class, but she places fourth and moves on to state. At 110, Kylie Leal lost the regional title match, so she places second. She's also a freshman. Senior Madison Holiday was second in the 120 weight class, so she's moving on. And then Charisma Yake at the 140 class wrestled for fifth, so she had to win that placing match in order to qualify for the state tournament, and she did. So Charisma Yake places fifth at 140. That means that's a school record combined, boys and girls. That's an Elk City school record for four wrestlers in the girls' weight in the girls' state tournament coming up. So that's awesome work by us.
I'd say so.
That is
awesome for the program.
Yeah, almost 700 girls wrestlers in the regionals yesterday.
That
but
sport
it's growing.
It's great. That's awesome.
You know, like they said, you know, Murray and Coach Green talked about how young this program is, and that's on the boys' side. It's even much younger on the girls' side here in Elk City, and so for them to already kind of be to that level. And the participation and the quality, that's astounding that they could get to where they've gotten this early. You know, he mentioned being 30 years behind the Perrys and the Tuttles and the whoever else is
right
around. Yeah, who to believe, fastest growing sport in Oklahoma is girls wrestling. You know, my wife and I talked about wrestling. You know, there's some...
Did you know?
Yeah, we did. We talked about the, you know, how... You know, there's sometimes where, you know, in a 4A school, you know, if you want to play basketball and you're 5'8" and weigh 120 pounds, it really doesn't work in your favor.
Right.
But when you go to if you go to wrestling, you don't have to wrestle the heavyweight at 5'8", 120.
Right.
You can wrestle another 5'8", 120 pound person. It's the way it's built that way.
Yeah.
So it's an intriguing sport for people to take advantage of, you know?
Yeah.
The fairest sport, one could say.
It really is. Really is. That's pretty cool. I like the fastest growing sport is women's wrestling, girls wrestling. That's really cool. Gives other kids opportunities. Now, I'm going to plead ignorance on this one, and the coach has probably talked about it. Is there an opportunity? Is there women's wrestling in NCAA in college?
So. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, I love when there are opportunities, any opportunity. I've always said that about esports, anything. If it can get a kid to college, that just another opportunity for someone to get to college, that's cool. So that's pretty cool.
Golly, Dylan will know. Madison's going to college, but she may be going to play softball. I thought I saw where she had. He'll text us right fast. I know he will. Oh, look at there. The little bubbles are already coming up. Yeah, softball at Western. That's right. I remember hearing that she was going to move on in college career, but it's softball. Yeah, Scott's got a great point. Glad they don't have to wrestle the boys anymore. Now that there's just a girls versus girls, because that
girls,
was a thing.
Yeah.
And hopefully, at some point, they don't have to wrestle the boys anymore.
That's true.
With some little jack wagon
that
gets his tail kicked, deciding, oh, you know what? I can't make it to state on the boys' side. Look at me, I'm a girl.
I'd venture to say that
it's already happening around the country.
Oh, sure it is. And I think in some cases the girl is still winning those matches.
God, I hope so. The only thing worse than letting boys wrestle girls, if you're the boy, is getting beat. Actually, you know what? What would be more embarrassing to you? being a boy and going and wrestling the girls and winning and acting like you really did something, or getting beat? In a lot of ways, I think it's almost more embarrassing for them to stand up on the podium and receive a medal for out-wrestling girls.
Yeah. Just like the boy swimmer. If there was a sound for eye roll...
What's it going to take? Literally, what's it going to take for this to stop?
Horrible injuries, yeah. We're already seeing that in some cases.
Like, let's pretend, I know we don't know enough men's college basketball players to throw somebody out. Let's pretend, like, say, I don't know, Armando Bacot. You know him?
No.
North Carolina, okay. The big guy. Let's say he decided he wanted to play women's college basketball. If he just went out there and absolutely obliterated Caitlin Clark in a game, would that stop it? You know, America's sweetheart, everybody loves her, even though she's a little dirty. A little dirty. But if he went out there and just dominated her, would people finally go, you know what, this stinks. Let's stop it. That's not fair.
Yeah, it'd have to.
Would that be the end
to
of this crap
in a major sport? You know, I talked about watching Iowa and Nebraska on a Sunday last Sunday afternoon. You know, and she's elevated that sport to where someone like me is going to want to watch it, and you know, outside of maybe OU women, you know, they're like, oh, I'll turn on Iowa and Nebraska. If it's something like that, it'd have to happen on a major like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. And people would go, wait a minute. Yeah, but it's happening right now in swimming, right? No one's tuning in to watch NCAA swimming.
No.
But when it happens at the highest of level or one of the higher levels, it's gonna
Everybody wants to push the WNBA. What if LeBron went out there at 40 and just dominated everybody?
There's a great
would that
bit,
stop it?
There's a great bit done by Dave Chappelle on his latest.
Yeah,
you might check it out before Netflix takes it down. It talks about that.
Jeremy's got the best suggestion, we just cannot say it on the air. He's right, that's the way it could work.
Yeah.
Especially the wrestling part of it.
Yep.
There's no doubt about it. All right. That'll do it.
That's what I'm going to tell my girls to do, Jeremy, if they're ever in this situation.
We all know what it is.
Fortunately, out here, we're never going to see that. You wouldn't think.
I'm not going to say never. The metal ought to say you beat a girl for this. That is fantastic. Everybody have a great Wednesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.